that would be great. The bathrooms are right here, right next door. Please also feel free. It's very informal, so please, if you want more food, get up, help yourselves. We want you to all be comfortable tonight. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest speakers. We are honored and we're very happy that they donated their time tonight to participate in this forum. We have Dr. Amit Verma, Dr. Aditi Shastri, Ira Braunschweig, and Aaron Sunny. Without further ado, I'd like to get the program started. And if you please join me in welcoming Dr. Verma, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Audrey, it's a big pleasure for me to be here. I always colleagues that it's far greater pleasure to talk to patients and families rather than giving presentations to our scientific colleagues, because you hear feedback directly relevant that directly affects people. And this is the first time we're doing this, so we are a little bit unfamiliar with these patient forums that the MDS Foundation organizes, but we want to make it as informal as possible. So please interrupt us at any point if you have any questions. And we want to make it interactive, and the only purpose of this forum is to help you guys navigate. Thank you. So, Audrey told us that maybe we should give short presentations. That way, we could, show you some data about MDS, what we are doing here in Montefiore with regards to MDS, and that might also be a stimulus for you guys to interrupt us and ask us questions. So I wanted to start off by showing you some. We don't have a pointer here, so I'll just walk you through the slides myself. So I wanted to start this off by a little introduction on what this disease is, MDS. I'm sure a lot of you already know a lot of things that I'm going to talk about, and I wanted to keep it simple, but still concentrate on the main things that we focus on as hematologists. So MDS, it's a short form of a big name, myelodysplastic syndromes. And the name comes from two words, myelo, which means blood, and dysplastic means something that's not all right, something that's altered, dysplasia. And this disease is really a group of a bunch of blood disorders. And the unifying theme for all of these diseases that are grouped under MDS is that the bone marrow, where all the cells are being made, doesn't function properly. So there's a bone marrow malfunction, and the net result is that the bone marrow doesn't make enough cells properly. So you have low red cells, white cells, or platelets, or all of them, and you get symptoms, you get problems that you feel. The reason we call it dysplasia is when we take, some of your patients, you've had this bone marrow procedure where we take a little sample from the bone marrow, put it on a slide, and look at it under a microscope. What we find is that the cells don't look normal. They look dysplastic. So that's why we call this disease myelodysplasia. And the third thing that defines this disease is that there are some MDS patients that can progress to leukemia, to a type of leukemia called acute myeloid leukemia, or AML. Now, if you look at the overall numbers in the US, when I started doing MDS about 10, 11 years ago, there wasn't much activity going on in this disease. I would say there would be 7 or 8 researchers working in MDS in the US, and there wasn't a single drug approved for MDS. But in the last 5 years, there's been tremendous excitement and activity in this field. And that is also reflected in how many numbers of MDS patients we are now diagnosing. So if you look at the official numbers, as I put in the slide, the official number says 10,000 new cases every year in the US. But the real true number is close to 50,000. And they get at this number by just looking at insurance claims, which is more accurate than, you know, these epidemiological studies. And when you look at all the patients that get diagnosed with MDS, it tends to occur as we age. So the median age is 70 years, and I'll show you a slide how the incidence, how the frequency of MDS goes up as we age. So what's really going on in this disease? So this diagram shows you that, you know, the bone marrow is where all the blood is being made, is all our bones are hollow. So all our bones have marrow inside them. And that's where you find these stem cells that give rise to white cells, many different kinds of white cells. They give rise to platelets, you know, these small cells that help clot the blood. And then they give rise to red cells. And this cartoon shows you a very simplified version of the same thing. So you have a stem cell that has the capacity to give rise to all of these cells. And this process via which a stem cell becomes a mature cell is called hematopoiesis, big word. But this process is kind of complex. It's very complicated, many different steps, many different things that regulate it. And there are factors that make the stem cells make more and more cells, and then there are factors, substances, proteins in the blood that can stop the stem cells from making more blood, because you don't want it to go unchecked. If the cell division goes unchecked, you can end up with leukemia. So there's always a balance between the positive and the negative. In MDS, what we find is that this balance is lost. So the negative factors may become more. So there is defective maturation of stem cells to mature cells, and you end up with low blood counts. And this makes you know, us researchers think of how can we reverse this negative influence, how can we restore the balance. And you know, when we talk about some of the treatments for this disease, you'll appreciate this point more. So this is sort of a simplified diagram of what really happens in MDS. So our thinking is that this is a disease that takes many, many years and decades to develop. And at some point, there is a mutation, a gene mutation, or a chromosomal change that occurs in stem cells in the bone marrow. And this may affect very few cells when it first happens. Gradually, over the course of time, you know, these abnormal stem cells, as depicted by the pink color, start growing. And they interact with the other cells in our body, immune cells, you know, surrounding cells, and they create this inflammation in the bone marrow that ends up killing a lot of normal, healthy stem cells. So over the course of time, the healthy stem cells go down, and the unhealthy MDS stem cells go up, and you end up with low blood counts. That's what we call as low-risk disease, which most of patients with MDS actually have low-risk disease. So what I'm trying to say is that there are millions and millions of these stem cells that live in the bone marrow. Let's say, due to some environmental exposure or something that we don't know of, one of these cells acquires a bad mutation. So it, instead of being a normal stem cell, it becomes a sort of MDS stem cell. Over the course of time, this abnormal cell will grow, but the normals will shrink. And then when it sort of takes over the whole bone marrow, the blood counts will fall. And then you present with this disease. But this process takes decades to happen. It's a slow process. That's partly the reason why we think this disease presents when you know, the age is more than 60, more than 65. Sometimes these abnormal cells can undergo more changes. You know, you can get more mutations, you can get more genetic changes, and then it can switch to a high-risk MDS or leukemia. So MDS can be low risk, where the main problem is low blood counts, or it can be high risk, where it's more like a leukemia, and we are worried about preventing, you know, the transformation from MDS to leukemia. And the reason it's important to understand low risk and high risk is the treatment strategy is different. You know, Dr. Shastri will briefly tell you about treatment, and we treat low risk slightly differently than how we treat high risk MDS. This graph shows you how the numbers change as we age. So these are rates of MDS seen per 100,000 population in the US. And as you can see, the rate of MDS really goes up after the age of 65. Okay, so you go to a what happens with most people is they experience some sort of symptom, which makes them go to the doctor. And the symptoms usually are related to low blood counts. So if you have low numbers of red cells, you have anemia, and the most common symptom for MDS is fatigue. If you have low numbers of white cells, your capacity to fight infections is reduced, and you can have more severe infections or repeated infections. If you have low platelets, then you are more likely to develop bruises. You're more likely to bleed. You know, brushing your teeth, you may notice blood staining your, gums, or just a little bit of a knock might lead to a bruise. So these are usually the three main types of symptoms people present with. Patients usually go to their doctor who does a blood count, notices that the blood counts are low. They try and see if there are any obvious causes for this, but when they can't find them, they refer you to a hematologist. And what we do is we look at your blood under a microscope. We usually end up doing a bone marrow test, bone marrow aspiration, and then looking at it under a microscope. But more importantly, we send those cells for genetic and cytogenetic testing. And that, as I'll tell you a little bit later on, can allow us to determine how high the risk is for your disease. Okay, so what are these chromosomal changes that I've been mentioning? So all of our genetic material in cells is organized in form of these chromosomes. And what we see in MDS is that parts of certain chromosomes are missing. So you have deletions in certain chromosomes. And I put the common ones here, chromosome number 5, chromosome number 7, chromosome number 20. These are usually have parts of them missing in MDS. And we use this to diagnose this disease when we do the bone marrow. In addition to these chromosomal deletions, we also have gene mutations. So, I put some of these names. It's a whole long list of complicated names. But sometimes when you talk to a hematologist, he might mention this gene P53, or a gene IDH. These are actual genes that can get mutations when you have MDS and AML. And now, from a practical point, in the last couple of years, we can easily test for these mutations with just a sample of your peripheral blood. We don't need to do bone marrows. In the olden days, we need to do bone marrows for everything. And this is reimbursed by your insurance. And we use these to do two things. One is to predict risk. Like if you have a P53 mutation, your risk is slightly higher. But more importantly, there are drugs that are coming out that can target these mutations. So there is a mutation in a gene called IDH. If you have a mutation in IDH, we actually have one approved drug that was approved last month. And if you have a mutation in this gene, FLT3, we have another drug that was approved this year. So we have two drugs that were approved for these exact mutations. And I think more are in the pipeline, more are coming. The drug blocks the cells that have this mutation. These mutations usually cause some activation of bad pathways, and the drug blocks that. Okay, this slide I just put there to show you that, you know, hematologists can think in very complicated manner. We made these very complex classifications of MDS, and every few years, you know, a bunch of hematologists get in a room and decide that the old one isn't good, and we try and change it. So if you can see, there are many different versions that have undergone changes. And you know, the old one that we had, that we a lot of us still follow, was this French-American-British classification. And I don't want you to remember these names. What I want to tell you is that when you talk to your hematologist, he'll frequently talk about these cells called blast cells. So these blast cells are cells that are leukemia-like cells. And when your hematologist does a bone marrow, they count how many blast cells do you have in your bone marrow. And the reason they do that is, if you have less than 5%, it's considered to be low risk. It's considered to be close to normal. If you have more than 20% of these blast cells in the marrow, then we call it a leukemia. And between 5 and 20, we call it high-risk MDS. So it's important to know what your hematologist is talking about when they talk of these blast cells. So the reason we do this, the reason we group them into these complex subtypes is because each of these subtypes has a different behavior in the clinic. As you can see, these are these curves which are called survival curves. So the light blue line, which is the topmost line, this is a disease called, MDS type called RARS, you know, long name, refractory anemia with ring sideroblast. Bottom line is, this is a very low risk type of MDS that doesn't usually progress to acute leukemia. On the other hand, this, the lowermost dotted line is this condition called RAEB, which is slightly more high risk and transforms more to leukemia, has more of an inclination to do that. Okay, so let me skip this. Okay, so why do we do this? Now, the other thing your hematologist sometimes will tell you is this complicated scoring system called IPSS. It is short form for International Prognosis Scoring System. What this means is, we look at three things in a patient. You know, we look at the number of bone marrow blast cells that I just mentioned. We look at how many chromosomes in the test are altered, and what chromosomes are affected. And some are good, some are bad risk, and some are, we don't know what they are, so we call them intermediate. And then the number of cytopenias means, do you have just anemia, or do you have anemia and low platelets, or do you have anemia and low white count? So we give a score for each, and then we add up the score, and we divide the risk into a low, intermediate, or high. And then we use that for treatment, as Dr. Shastri will tell you. And this is just a list of a bunch of chromosomes that can be affected in MDS. And as you can see, 50% of MDS patients actually, we cannot detect any chromosome changes at all, so the reading comes back as normal. But now we have gene mutations, and a lot of them turn out to have gene mutations that we can diagnose. Okay, so since this was, I'm talking of chromosomes, I just wanted to mention there is a sort of special type of MDS called 5q MDS. This is an MDS in patients who have deletion of one arm of chromosome number 5. So this type of MDS is important to diagnose, because patients who have this 5q deletion respond very well to this drug called Revlimid, which you'll hear about in a few minutes. This type of MDS is actually affects ladies more. And the other interesting thing in this MDS is platelet counts are actually increased, as opposed to other MDSs where platelet counts are low. There is a nice response to Revlimid. You'll see the data. And the chances of it transforming to leukemia are very low in this. It's actually less than 10% now after Revlimid has been introduced. So this is a short introduction to MDS. You know, it's getting more common now. I think more and more people are being diagnosed. These are some of the prominent people that have been in the news the last couple of years. You know, Steve Walsh, the 49ers coach, Robin Roberts, I think a lot of us know she had breast cancer, got chemotherapy, and then chemotherapy exposure caused changes in her bone marrow stem cells, which led to MDS. So, you know, I want to end here. This was meant to be an introduction, and, you know, if you guys have any questions. Okay. So, and, you know, if you think of a question, you know, you can interrupt us at any point. So Aditi is one of our colleagues in Montefiore, and she's going to...
to speak into the microphone, and you have to depress, I think it's to the right, I'm sorry. This one can be heard. I'll press it for you. There you go. And when it's lit, it should be on now. So if you have a question, if you could just press the button down while you're speaking, that would be great.
I just missed the name of the man who you showed with Nora Ephron and Robin Roberts.
Steve Walsh. The famous NFL for the San
Francisco 49ers. Okay, hello. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. Hi. You know, I just want to extend a warm welcome to everybody who's here today. And for those of you that are not from the Bronx, so welcome to the Bronx. And we're with the Montefiore Medical Center, which is the biggest provider.